by Krishna from the rascal king Bhaumasu. So they're praying to Krishna. Please tell us how we may constantly remember your lotus feet, though we continue in the cycle of birth and death in this world. Jerza hamko batai kisu paise ham apke charan kamalon ka sadaiva smaran kar sakenge yadyapi ham is bhautik samsar mein rehne wale hain. Purport, one can constantly remember the Lord only by His mercy. Such remembrance is the easy method to obtain supreme liberation as explained in Bhagavad Gita. Ananya cheta satatam yo mam smarati nityashaha tasyaham sulabhah partha nitya yuktasya yoginaha. For one who always remembers me without deviation, I am easy to obtain, O son of Pita, because of his constant engagement in devotional service. The words api samsaratamiha indicate that the kings were approaching Lord Krishna not merely for liberation, but rather for the boon of always being able to remember his lotus feet. Such constant remembrance is a symptom of love, and love of Godhead is the actual goal of life. Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Parakamalam Sri Guru Navaishri Bhavadhutam Parajana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitam Scha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. One of the primary processes of devotional service is offering prayers to the Lord. This is elaborated upon in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada, in his Nectar of Devotion, comments that there are many prayers which are offered to the Lord by great devotees. And he says that particularly in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many prayers which are suitable for devotees to repeat. Now, actually in the at least according to the Christian upbringing that I had, the idea was that prayer should be something very personal and you should pray your own prayers. There are some fixed prayers also. Hail Mary, something like, what goes after that? Hail Mary, full of grace, something like, said it thousands of times, I forgot it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Aapka naam ki jai ho. Give us this day our daily bread. And so on. So there are a few fixed prayers, but generally the idea is that you should pray you should have your own prayers. But the Bhagavat system, or the system instructed by our Mahabhagavat Acharyas, is based on Srimad Bhagavatam, is that rather we should learn some prayers which have been prayed by great devotees and pray those prayers, because we're so useless, we don't even know how to pray properly. We say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, give us this day our daily bread and a Rolls Royce car and lots of money and a holiday home and so many things. Or even we may pray, give me liberation. But better prayers are there for the pure devotees who are in the quintessential, which you can translate as Sarvot Krishna, or the topmost position of devotional service. They know how to pray to the Lord. They have crossed the ocean of birth and death. They've crossed the ocean of birth and death That is called the ocean of Vrindavan. Why is it called an ocean? Why do we say like that? Well, it's a fact. There's a long way to go back to the spiritual world. There's the Karanadak, the water of the cause of ocean. It's very vast. But that same water, that vast ocean, that can become just like the water Goshrapadam, that in the hoof print of a calf, that same water can become very small for one who always thinks of Krishna. So actually the ocean, when we say the ocean of material existence, it's not so much an ocean in terms of the physical terms, but it's the ocean of our material desires. The ocean of our material concepts is very vast. We have so many material desires. So for that reason, we don't even know how we should express ourselves to the Lord. What should we say? How should we behave with Him? We need training how to do that. Although it is natural for us, Nitya Siddha, Krishna Prem, Shadha Kabunoi, Shavana, it's natural for us to be devoted to Krishna, but we have forgotten that. We don't know. We're in an unnatural situation. Just like if, due to disuse, someone's limb becomes dystrophied, atrophied, worse. Then, if he takes some treatment, he may gradually get the power to use the limb back. But he may have forgotten how to use it, how to pick something up if your hand goes out of action. So he needs some physiotherapy, some training. Or just like even your mother tongue, if you go to some place where it's not spoken, and you learn another language, then when you come back to that situation where you're among your countrymen, you may find it at first difficult to speak your own tongue. Some of you had that experience. When you go back to Croatia, you have, what are they talking? What are they saying? How are they? You start to think in another language altogether. You also, when you're here, you're talking in Hindi all the time, probably. So that which should be very natural, it becomes due to our being in an unnatural situation. What is actually natural for us becomes unnatural, and vice versa. So we may need some training in how to come back to our real situation. We may need some training in how to be Krishna conscious. Shravanadi shuddha chitte koriye udoy. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Shadha Kabunoi. We are by nature Krishna conscious, but that consciousness has become covered over, and now we need to take up the process of hearing and chanting about Krishna so that that consciousness can again become manifest. So this is one of the important processes, is to pray according to the manner that great devotees have prayed, because they know what to pray to Krishna. They are in the right consciousness. They have crossed the ocean of material desires. When we say the ocean of material existence, that means to cross the ocean of material desires, because as the Buddhists point out, this is one of the big points of their philosophy, is that suffering is caused by desire. So of course their idea is to stop all desire. But the Vaishnavas, they know that suffering is caused by wrong desire. Not that desire intrinsically or inherently is the cause of suffering, but rather wrong desire. It's like it's often quoted from the teachings of Lord Jesus that money is the root of all evil. But actually that's an incomplete saying, because Jesus said, or at least so it's recorded in the New Testament, that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money in itself is not bad, but the greed for money for one's own sense gratification, that is bad. So in the same way, desire in itself is not bad, but misplaced desire causes contamination of consciousness. So much so that we don't even know how to pray to Krishna, who is the dearmost person of our hearts. That example is sometimes given, Prabhupada sometimes gave, that a child of his parents, he may become ghostly haunted or mentally affected, and he curses his parents, may beat them. So that's not natural. So if the exorcist comes, then he can remove the ghost, and then the child will come back to the natural situation. But it may take him a little time to recover. He may have to be retrained how to deal with his parents. So for this reason, we should pray according to the prayers of great devotees. This is a very nice prayer that is being recited today. It's very suitable for all of us who are in material existence. These kings who are praying to Krishna, they are praying for freedom from material existence so that actually they want to develop pure devotion to Krishna. So we can understand that actually if they're not already pure devotees, fully, completely pure devotees, then they're very close to being so. It may be that sometimes circumstantially, pure devotees, they appear to be materialistic, just like these kings say that. Well, we are very materialistic. Previous to this, they've said that we are very materialistic. We are simply interested in expanding our kingdoms, and we forgot you, Krishna. But now you kindly rescued us, and now we only want to remember you. So sometimes it seems that pure devotees, they may be grossly materialistic. Previously, I mean, there are many examples. Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared to be, he was almost a Christian, and there's even some indication that he may have been non-veg. That's maybe shocking. The Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis, their names were changed to Dabir Khas Sakar Malik, which indicates that actually Jashomati Nandan Prabhu, our chief in Ahmedabad, he asked Prabhupada once that why did they say Nicha Jati, Nicha Shangi, Patita Adham, Kubishoi, Kupa Pare Goaino Janam? They prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that we are of low jat, we're very low caste, we associate with very low class people, we're very fallen and sinful, we have fallen into the well of gross material desires, and in this way we are passing our lives. So why did they say like that? Because actually they were from a very high-class Brahmin family. So Prabhupada said, see, their names had changed, so it indicates that they probably had taken up many Muslim habits. So what are we to think of that? If we think Rupa Goswami is Rupa Manjari and all the intimate, very intimate, more intimate than other gopis, even associates of the Lord in Krishna Leela. How are we to understand that? Well, just a few days ago I saw this that Prabhupada said about, once in Mayapur, he said about his disciples, he said that, well, Krishna sent you to help me spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And then one devotee said to Prabhupada, how could that be, Prabhupada? Because we're all from very sinful background. And Prabhupada said, that was superficial. And that can be understood because even though you're engaged in so many bad activities, As soon as I came, and as soon as you heard the Hare Krishna mantra, as soon as the Krishna conscious woman came, you came running to join it. So Prabhupada said all that was simply superficial. So it may be sometimes that great devotees, they may appear to be in a fallen situation, but then it's seen when they take to Krishna consciousness how strongly they take to that, which means that they all, that verse is there. What is that? Kapila Dev, no, Devahuti says. What is that verse? Aho bhata svapachato karyan yajjivagre vartate nama tubhyam tapas tapas te juhubu sasnaraya brahmanuchan nama grinanti te. She says that how wonderful it is that persons who chant your holy names, who are constantly engaged in chanting your holy names, even if born in families of dog eaters, and you can't go much lower than that. Of course, beef eaters is worse. But dog eater, it's pretty bad. So even if born in such a rejected kind of family, if subsequently such a person takes seriously to the chanting of the holy names, then it's understood that in previous lives, they have executed all the activities of that are recommended in the Vedic scriptures, such as visiting holy places, studying the Vedic literatures, performing austerities, and all the religious activities of the highly elevated person. They already did that. Even if they're born in a very low-class family, it's understood that they did that, or maybe even if they didn't do that, that they're chanting Hare Krishna means they don't have to do that because they crossed beyond that point. So it's understood that it's not necessary for them to do that. Aradito yadi haris tapasatata king. Naradito yadi haris tapasatata king. Antarbahir yadi haris tapasatata king. Nantarbahir yadi haris tapasatata king. And this verse is from Narada Pancharatra, which states that if one is always remembering Krishna, then what need is there for him to do austerities? And if you don't remember Krishna, then even if you do austerities, what's the use of doing them? One who is always seeing Krishna inside and outside, same thing. For him, there's no need to do any gross austerities. And for one who doesn't remember Krishna, even who doesn't see him inside and outside, then doing his austerities won't help him anyway. So here the kings, they're praying like this, that please, we want to know what is the means to get free from material existence, to remember your lotus feet, even though we're stuck in this material existence. But practically, one who is praying like that, he's already free from material existence. Just the very desire, if one's actually sincere with that desire, then simply to desire like that, one is practically already free. That's why Prabhupada, he used to say that all my disciples are pure devotees. And we were surprised. Well, I'm not. And others, you see them falling asleep while they're chanting japa and doing all kinds of things which suggest that they, various things which suggest they may not be pure devotees. But Prabhupada explained that even one may be neophyte, maybe a pure devotee also, in the sense that one who is serious to serve Krishna and who is seriously endeavoring to become a pure devotee, they may be considered a pure devotee because it's only a short time before they actually achieve that. If they remain faithful on the path, it's only going to be a short time before they attain to pure devotion, to the state of being free from all material desires. So even if one is not free from all material desires, but is sincerely endeavoring in devotional service, that means endeavoring to be a pure devotee. One is considered a pure devotee because it's just like sometimes you see someone's, after someone's name, they put PhD in brackets. What does that mean in brackets? It means they're studying and they're doing their thesis. So it's thought they're going to get their PhD. They're on the path. But it's in brackets. It means it's not paka yet. It's not quite there. Or sometimes you may call a medical student in their last year or during their internship, you may call them doctor. Although they're not really fully a doctor, but they're more or less there. So they're accepted as such. So these kings, they are pure devotees. And their prayers are very valuable. Please tell us how we may constantly remember your lotus feet, though we continue in the cycle of birth and death in this world. They're very valuable for us. There are many prayers that I was quoting the other day. Chamara dulabo kobe herebo mukachandra. Again, I forgot the first line. What is it? Shama gauri onge dibo chandanera gandha. Chamara dulabo kobe herebo mukachandra. This is a prayer of Narottam Das saying that when will I get the opportunity to smear the chandan paste, sandalwood paste, on the bodies of Shama and Gauri, Krishna and Radha, and to personally fan them with the chama. So, that's a very nice prayer, but it may not be very suitable for us. This is a more suitable prayer for us. That when one is actually in the liberated condition, then it is appropriate to think about one's particular... Actually, not even appropriate to think, that will come automatically. What is my position of service to Krishna in the spiritual world? But at the present time, this prayer is very suitable for us. If we pray to Krishna, I'd like to smear sandalwood, pulp, and body, all these things. You can do it. You can do deity worship. You become qualified. You can do that. But to think that how I'm doing in the spiritual world, all these things, that is not very appropriate because we're not in a position to do that at the present time. We can't take a running jump into the Ras Leela. It's not that you can't, but you do some exercise. This, what is that? Balena hina, balahinena naivatma labdhya. One cannot attain to spiritual. One cannot attain the atma without strength. So that idiot Vivekananda, he interpreted it as, I hope you don't mind, a lot of Bengalis get upset when we say that, but actually he's an idiot. He said that, better to play football than read Bhagavad Gita, because you have to have strength. Otherwise, you see, now you're not strong, so first you should get some strength, then you can read Bhagavad Gita. So that's why I'm saying he's an idiot, because he thought it means that you have to be strong like a buffalo, and then you can understand God. But that's not the case. It means spiritual strength. So, by spiritual strength, one can understand the Lord, but actually, one can make spiritual advancement. But actually, the Vaishnava process, that is more, as it is stated here in the purport, that one can constantly remember the Lord only by His mercy. So in other processes of spiritual advancement, they're thinking how to get strengthened, how to control the mind, and then they'll do various austerities to try to control the mind. So they're trying to go up by their own strength. However, a better process is to take help from one who is already strong. A weak person can be helped by one who is strong. So we are weak and Krishna is strong. But our fault is that we don't like to admit that we are weak. We like to think, I am strong. Ishvara Aham. Not Ishvara Parama Krishna. We like to think, I am the controller. So what do I need? Why do I need any help from anyone? So gyanis, yogis, they want to make spiritual advancement, but on their own strength. The very premise of advancement by the process of jnana or yoga, the very premise is antithetical to advancement, to real advancement. So here the kings are praying that please, what is the means that we can remember your lotus feet? And what is the means? The answer is given in the first line of the purport, by his mercy. Now this may seem somewhat contradictory, because how are you going to get the mercy of the Lord? Well, by meditating on him, by serving him. In other words, by taking to Krishna consciousness, you can get his mercy. But then it's you can only remember him by his mercy. So what is it? It seems to go round and round in a circle. You have to get his mercy so that you can remember him. How can you get his mercy? Well, you have to remember him. Then when you remember him, he'll be merciful to you. So it seems, where do you begin? It's the which came first, the chicken or the egg kind of discussion. But actually both things have to be there. One's own endeavor has to be there. The vital factor in one's spiritual advancement in Krishna consciousness is the mercy of Krishna and his devotees. That is the vital factor, without which one cannot make any advancement. Even if one performs all the rituals and follows all the rules and regulations of spiritual life, of Krishna consciousness, for many, many lifetimes, one cannot become blessed with the mercy of Krishna consciousness. He cannot become Krishna conscious unless the Lord grants that to him. It's not that by that, you know, saying you can't take a running jump into the Rasa Lila. You can't. It's not allowed. We don't have the strength to do that. We can't force our way into Vaikuntha. One may be allowed inside only. We are weak. The Lord is strong. So he doesn't allow us to jump in. We can go in by begging, by if he gives his mercy, if he sees that we are sincere to take his mercy, then he'll give it. Otherwise, he'll give it in another form. Everyone is getting the mercy of the Lord. Every living being has got the mercy of the Lord. Those living beings who are in the body of a pig, they're also getting the mercy of the Lord. Because they desired such an existence, they're getting it. They wanted that they can eat all kinds of different food and no restriction, live as they like, a life of indolent voluptuousness. This is a term coined by Bhumna Prabhu. Indolent voluptuary means one who is lazy, a lazy sense enjoyer. So if you simply want to lie around and then when you get up enjoy sense gratification, then the Lord will be very merciful to you and give you the body of a pig. Because it's just suitable. That the pig doesn't have to go to a factory or an office to work. Nor everything is the fresh food every morning, hot. Good digestion. You ever heard of a pig with indigestion? All facilities for sense enjoyment. So that's Krishna's mercy on you, if you want. You can get a pig body, or a monkey body, or a dog body, or a jackal body. There's so many kinds of bodies. But when one actually becomes intelligent, one desires to go to Krishna and serve Krishna. But then, one has to be ready to do so. If one is still in pig consciousness, one cannot serve Krishna properly. I remember. He said, if you're only eating and sleeping, then how can you train others to be Krishna conscious? I mean, it wasn't that he was doing like that, but somehow or other, Prabhupada wanted to give some warning, and he did so. That if you're in pig consciousness, then you can train others to be pigs, but you can't train them to be Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious life is the antithesis of hog life. So these kings are praying that we want to constantly remember your lotus feet. There are many suitable prayers in Bhagavatam. How Chitraketu, who became Vritrasura, in the form of Vritrasura, was praying that, my dear Lord, I do not mind what kind of birth I take. He was born as a demon. But I only desire that I can get the association of your devotees birth after birth. So that's a very good prayer. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us how to pray. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundari. I don't want all these things. I only want you, Krishna, service to you without any desire. So there are many suitable prayers. This is also a very relevant prayer here today we're reading. How the kings are praying. How we may constantly remember your lotus feet, even though we're here in the material world. The kings were going to go back to being kings. And kingly life, in general, that's not very suitable for developing Krishna consciousness. That is, if one is living in opulence, with power, wherever you go, people respect you, and you're giving orders, and people are coming to you and begging from different boons from you, then you're likely to become puffed up and forget that I'm a servant of Krishna. I'm very insignificant. So they were in such a situation, they were praying that, how can we remember you even though we're in this material world? So that is our, for those of us who have taken to devotional service seriously, this is our whole dilemma, that we're in this material world and we're living in this material world, and at every moment, every one of our senses is getting input from the sense object. At every moment we're seeing, touching, smelling, hearing, tasting, feeling. And at this, apart from that, the mind is going on. And all the sensory impulses of the material world, smell of things. So these are all, and we're in material consciousness. So, with the sense objects, is all the time there is instigation towards sense enjoyment. So how can we remember Krishna? This is our dilemma. That having taken to Krishna consciousness, we want to remember Krishna. But everything in the material world seems to work against us. So this is the question. How can we remember you? Here the Ananya Chaita Satatam, Prabhupada is quoting, one who remembers you always, without deviation. Prabhupada translates this, who remembers me without deviation. So in the Hindi translation, what did they get? Vichalan kevar, without any vichalan, I think the word came, which means dis. No, but in the book, I read it. What's the word they used? Vichalan kevar. He used the word vichalan, without vichalan. Which actually means disturbance. It's more like that, isn't it? Yeah, it also means disturbance. Anyway, I was thinking like that. Anyway, maybe I'm wrong. So, how can we remember you without disturbance? That's my mind is always becoming disturbed. That we want to remember Krishna, but at the same time, the mind is always becoming disturbed. So the kings are asking, what is the means? What is the upai? What is the means to remember you? So the answer is very simple. The answer is that one should take to the process of pure devotional service, hearing and chanting about Krishna in the association of pure devotees. Pure devotees means, as I was just saying, pure devotees means those who are serious about Krishna consciousness. Even they themselves may have various idiosyncrasies due to past habit. Prabhupada told story of one thief by profession. In India, the society used to be very rigid. There was the Baba caste, the potter caste, business caste, fighting caste, and thief caste. That means if your father was a potter, you become a potter. If your father was a Baba, you become a Baba. If your father was a thief, you become a thief. It's by caste. So he was trained up from birth to be a thief. So one time he joined the ISKCON pilgrimage to Vrindavan or whatever, someone's pilgrimage to Vrindavan. And but he used to run around at night. That's his, he was used to being awake at night. That's best time for stealing, in case any of you decide to take it up as a profession. I hope you don't. But usually the best time for stealing is at night. So he was awake at night, he's used to being awake, and he's used to, by his habit, he used to steal things. It's just like, you know, got to steal something. But then he thought, ah, no, I can't do it, I'm on a pilgrimage. Mustn't do it. He said, oh, I have to steal. No, I can't, I have to steal, I can't. So then what he did was, he took people's baggage and he took someone's baggage from another one place and put it in another place in the camp without running away. So when everyone got up in the morning, they said, where's my bag? Well, what happened? And they're all looking here and there. He said, relax, it's okay. I'll explain. You see, I'm a thief, but I didn't want to steal, so I couldn't help myself, so I just moved your baggage a little bit. So that was, he caused some disturbance, but at least he was on pilgrimage, and he probably made it to Vrindavan, wherever he was going. So like that, even we may be engaged in devotional service, but we may have various idiosyncrasies or bad habits which may cause disturbance to other devotees also. Mostly it causes disturbance to other devotees because that's who we're living with and who we're associating with. But Krishna in Bhagavad Gita tells that, well, if someone is seriously engaged in my service, even if he moves your bags around and causes you so much disturbance, then api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhav sadhurim samantavya samyamvya satyam saha. That even if someone is seriously engaged in my devotional service, even if they sometimes act as a great rascal, not just Durachari, but Sudurachari. It means not just a rascal, but actually a very great rascal. Then he's considered a sadhu because he's seriously engaged in Krishna's, he's seriously trying Krishna's service. Of course, in the next verse we have that Shiprang Bhavati Dharmatma. Very quickly he becomes rectified. So Prabhupada comments in the purport that if one doesn't become rectified, then he's not really a devotee at all, he's just doing it for show. But the point is that while one is within the cycle of birth and death in this world, one will be affected by the inebrieties, as Prabhupada used to say, or the contaminations of this material world. So, actually, many times, I mean, practically every day, devotees come to me and ask that, you know, while I'm chanting for so many years, still, you know, still my mind is disturbed and this and that, and what should I do? I just say the same thing. Go on chanting. Just go on with the process of devotional service with the faith that this process is purifying. It will work. Do not think that this chanting and dancing will not lead to the desired result, Prabhupada. It will. It will, but we have to have faith in the process and go on with it. And even if we think, well, you know, it's very slow, I'm going very slowly, then what is the alternative? Then what should we do? I've been chanting Hare Krishna for all of 3 months and still I have bad desires in my heart. Or I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 30 years. 30 years, and still I have so many contaminations in my heart. So what should I do? Well, one thing is to consider that we've been in this material existence since time immemorial, in which 30 years is just a nanosecond in time. Nanosecond means a very short time, much less than a second. So, 30 isn't all that much. Another thing is that we should look in our hearts and see, well, if there is a problem, the problems, we shouldn't think that this process doesn't work. We should think that I'm a rascal, I'm not following it properly. Why am I so attached? I'm chanting, but I'm not making any endeavor to properly hear or to properly serve. So we shouldn't think the fault is with the process. The fault is with me if I'm not making process. It's not someone else's fault. It's my fault, we should think. But we should also be very grateful for the opportunity to be engaged in devotional service at all. And we should know that there's nothing else to do. And what else should we do? Should I, okay, I'm chanting Hare Krishna for 30 years and still I'm attracted to Maya, so what should I do? Should I throw my beads away? Take a vow to eat meat, drink wine, have illicit sex and gamble? What should I do? What should we do? We should go on with the process. There's no alternative but this. There's no better method than this. So we should have faith in that. And apart from that, we should try to do something to please Krishna. Even if, you see, in Kali Yuga, everyone is very fallen. And we're not actually fit to take the devotional service at all. But it's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy that he's engaging people who are not fit. Even Prabhupada said that I'm engaging fools, rascals, and rogues in devotion to push on this movement. No one else came. All the high-class, well-behaved, pious people. Prabhupada was preaching in India, where at that time especially there were still many more than today, pious, religious people. They didn't come and join Prabhupada. Prabhupada went to the West, and the most irreligious, impious, fallen rascals and rogues by background came and joined Prabhupada. So Prabhupada, I'm pushing on this movement with these people. They're fit or not fit, they're the only ones who are helping. So it may be that we are materially attached and we may consider ourselves not actually fit to engage in devotional service. I'm chanting, I feel I'm not making any advancement, but still, however following we be, we can pick up some books and go out and go door to door and ask people to take Bhagavad Gita as it is. Even we may not be so advanced, it doesn't require to be, you don't have to reach the Paramahamsa stage before you go and ask someone to take Bhagavad Gita as it is. So you can do that. And by doing that, actually then our own minds will help, they'll be purified. And we can do something to help others. We can still do some service to Krishna. Krishna will be pleased. We will get his mercy. And by his mercy, then we can become purified. So whatever it may be, we are in this material existence and we are surrounded by the material atmosphere. We may think, well, how can I get free from this, all this contamination? So the answer is to go on with the process of Krishna consciousness and to tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta paramam purusham param, to very seriously endeavor in devotional service, try to do something to please Krishna. Despite our lack of qualification, if we try to please Krishna, do some service for Krishna, as Prabhupada sometimes used to say, tangible service, something practical, something useful, something of, that will be helpful for pushing on the Sankirtan movement, then certainly we will get the mercy of Krishna. We should have that faith. The kings are praying, how can we remember you even though we are in this fallen condition? So Krishna will give the answer later. Hare Krishna.
One example, like if our senses is compared by force, and if pushing by our senses are fixed and only emotional, and not giving them to go to left or right, that after sometimes getting this force.
This is an example given in the Bhagavatam, actually. For how to control the mind. The example is given that if you're riding a horse and you have the reins, then you hold the reins tight, but not, if you hold it too tight, then the horse will rear up and throw you off. So in the same way, one has to control the horse of the mind. But if you try to make it so tight that you yourself can't take your own discipline, just like it's quite common, we see some devotees, now I'm only going to sleep 2 hours every night, and I'm only going to eat one chapati and one piece of cauliflower every day. And they go on like this for 3 or 4 days, great tapasya, and then they eat a huge feast, which is more than they could have eaten in the last 10 weeks. And then they sleep for 3 days. And then they get up and say, now I'm really going to do tapasya. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Not realistic. So one, it's good to try to be austere, but when we say no artificial austerity, austerity in itself is somewhat artificial anyway. But it means not to try to do that which we're not capable of doing. We have physical bodies. Prabhupada gave the example of Raghunath Das Goswami. He clearly said that we should not try to imitate because we can't do it. Raghunath Das Goswami he practically stopped eating and sleeping. We can't do that. But we should not eat more than required. That also we may be a little flexible. Because part of Vaishnava Dharma is taking prasad and bhunte bhojayate, giving prasad to others and being fed by others. So it may be that sometimes you take more. It may be just as a, because it's a loving exchange between devotees. That one time, Giriraj Maharaj told the example, he was strict brahmachari, not taking any sweets. So he was eating with Prabhupada in one life member's home, and he said, please take some sweets. He said, no. And he said, please take some sweets. No. Prabhupada leaned over and said to him, you can take one or two sweets to make an old man happy. Like that. So